Before we begin a new hour, let us just all witness a momentous occasion that took place yesterday. Gardner Minshew against the Ravens. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, he did it! RC, he stepped out of the back of the end zone. Does that remind us of someone who is usually here on Mondays? RC, Dan Orlovsky.
Well, the one thing is, Gardner Minshew stepped out. Dan Orlovsky scored a touchdown outside of the end zone. I will say this. I'm glad my boy is finally off the hook, or he at least has someone else to keep him company.
Believe me, he knows. Here was Danny yesterday.
First Jimmy, now Gardner. I'm off the hook. I'm off the hook.
Jimmy Garoppolo had done it once before.
The one thing about Dan Orlovsky is this, though. He's never going to be off the hook.
No,
we all remember the trailblazer. We all remember the person who made something a thing. And
that's
it is Dan, and it will never not be Dan.
He pulled an Orlovsky.
Yeah,
and he will never be forgotten.
You know why?
Dano will never be forgotten.
Because if I say Neil Armstrong, you know who that is. He was the first man to walk on the moon.
Yes, he was.
Who was the second?
Never heard of him.
Dan Orlovsky is the Neil Armstrong of running out of the back of the end zone. He should do orange juice commercials, which is a reference from my age that only I get. Okay, with that, we welcome you back. That's what Neil Armstrong did. Anyway, with that, we welcome you back. Coming to live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. The Dallas Cowboys were anything but perfect in the desert yesterday. That's where this hour begins. Dak Prescott, was this going to be a laugher against the Cardinals? Joshua Dobbs had other ideas, and so did James Conner. Right off the bat, RC, they're setting a tone.
It was physicality from the beginning of the game, and they said, we're going to run the football. Dallas Cowboys, you stop us, and I think James Conner is still running in Old Town Scottsdale.
Cardinals 9-0, and they went for the two, didn't get it. Second quarter, and lead is 9-3. Rondale Moore, he's 5'7", and he's fast.
He is very fast, but last I checked, Trayvon Diggs wasn't supposed to be a part of the run front. Where is the Dallas front seven when it came to stopping the run?
Again, Arizona goes for two, doesn't get it, so it's 15-3. Next Cowboys drive, screen pass, Rico Dowdle takes it to the house.
Listen, this is the physicality you need when you get inside the red zone. Let's get the football in the hands of the running backs and allow them to do what they do.
Dak threw for 249. Meanwhile, Rex, you want to see the Cowboys run the ball. You want to see more of this from Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard, he's the best player you got on offense.
Yep.
Feed the guy.
Breaking tackles. He did get 23 carries, 122 yards, but the Cowboys just bogged down in the red zone. Here's a fourth down.
Listen, if you're in the red zone, you need creativity, but before that, you need execution. You need desperation when you're down if you're the Dallas Cowboys, and we saw none of those things when they got inside the red zone.
So they're still down 21-13. That's still the score in the third, under 10 minutes left in the fourth. This is a third down. They go for the
Listen, I don't mind this. You got your best player, best receiver, CeeDee Lamb, against a sixth-round rookie draft pick. Let him make a play.
21-16. Now you need your defense to make a play. Where is the coverage? Rex, what?
I have no idea here, man. And like I say, it reminds me of Denver. Oh, I don't know.
My man running as butt naked open as Frank the Tank was on Old School.
A 69-yard gain sets this up. Hollywood Brown, touchdown. Cardinals up 28-16. Desperation time now for the Cowboys. The red zone struggles would continue. Third down, Dak.
Yeah, he threw the football into a lambda frat party. And Dyer White makes the interception.
Listen to some of the comments after. Let's start with Dak.
Y'all put us on top of the world. We know who we are. And in that same sense, I'm sure the media got what they wanted. It sucks. It's humbling. But to say it's a wake-up call, we knew we had a lot of adversity, and we just didn't get it done.
The reality is we got to take in every game is like the Super Bowl. And we got to play up to our standard. We can't play down to teams, and I felt like that's what we did today.
I absolutely hate this comment. I love the player. I hate the comment right here. I mean, you played down to your opponent. Are you kidding me? This team just, whipped you. Over 200 yards rushing. In the first half, you gave up 11.5 yards a carry. Mm. Are you kidding me? And you're going to disrespect them by saying, we played down to you? No, you know what? They just whipped you. Like, come on, man. All you had to do was sit back and say, you know what? That team was – they out-physicaled us. They deserve that damn game. And move on. Right now, come on, Micah Parsons.
Coming into the season, we all said about the Arizona Cardinals that they were going to be the worst team in the league, that Jonathan Gannon had no chance. Your starting quarterback, Kyler Murray, will be on the pine or be on injured reserve for much of the season. The Arizona Cardinals didn't get that memo.
Right.
And what they said is, there are a few things we do well. The same thing we've been talking about with the New York Jets. Figure out what you do well. You know what they said? We have a quarterback that can use his legs. We have a quarterback that is intelligent. We are physical. And we have a running back that wants all the smoke. And they said, we're going to come out and we're going to see if the pretty Dallas Cowboys, this team that everyone is saying can win the championship, including me, is going to want to get in a fist fight. And they said, we're going to make it a fist fight from the jump. And the Dallas Cowboys never responded. They never figured out a way to put more pressure on Joshua Dobbs, to make Joshua Dobbs look like a backup. They never figured out a way to hit James Conner in the mouth and stop him from going downhill. They never figured out a way that when we're in the red zone, we're going to be the most physical team, not the team that's going to trick you, not the one that's going to rely on our quarterback to make the right decision or for CeeDee Lamb to make a big play. We're going to be the better team. We're going to be the more well-coached team. We're going to be the team that executes the best. We're going to be the most physical. None of those things ever happen. And when those things can't happen, and when you don't make those adjustments, you lose to teams that are 0-2. You lose to teams that made Daniel Jones look like a superstar in the second half. Where was that from the Dallas Cowboys? Where was that answer? We didn't get it.
So the question I would ask you, D-Wood, was this a bad day for the Cowboys, or was it a bad sign for the Cowboys?
Bad sign. Bad sign. Because we all know the NFL is a copycat league. Okay, and when you get out physical, when you get punched in the mouth, body blows like the Arizona Cardinals did to Dallas Cowboys,
yeah,
other teams are going to do that. San Francisco 49ers, can they do that? Absolutely.
Yeah. In 2 weeks.
Can the Philadelphia Eagles do that? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So all these teams now that's following up, looking at this tape, they're going to say, oh, yeah, the Dallas, they can rush the passer. But can they stop the run? Can they stop these body blows that we're about to throw on them?
I think I'm going to be honest. I believe in Dan Quinn. I do. I believe that Dan Quinn can make the adjustments. I believe that we've watched this team year after year defensively, honestly, carry the offense. But when you haven't had a certain level of team success, right, when you've always been chasing it, but you've been on the cusp and you've continually fallen short, and then all of a sudden you feel like, oh, wait, this is it. We got it. This is who we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need a reminder that it's the NFL and you better come out every week ready to go. And this could be that reminder.
But you know what, RC? I always say it like this. See, it's easy. Like, I'm speaking about Dak Prescott and company. It's easy when the defense is just overwhelming people and you're able to play a certain brand of football. But what happens when the opposing team is giving you that smoke as well and is forcing you, Dak Prescott, now you have to elevate your game. That's what didn't happen in this game, particularly in the red zone.
Yep.
Dak Prescott was not able to elevate his game when the Arizona Cardinals was going blow for blow with the Dallas Cowboys. That, to me, is a sign. Like, are you going to be able to elevate your game when teams are playing blow for blow with the Dallas Cowboys?
That's a really good point that he makes. It's the first time this season they've needed their quarterback to win them a game. And in this particular case, particularly with the red zone struggles, Rexy wasn't able to do it.
He wasn't. And the difference between being a good quarterback and a great quarterback is you're playing the red zone.
Mm.
And that's where Dak has to go back to being the old Dak Prescott and use his legs. He has mobility. He needs to do that in the red zone. Watch what happens if he starts running the football in himself. All of a sudden, now they're going to be way more efficient in the red zone.
They play very good defenses. Been. The next 2 weeks, they play New England, an excellent defense. Then they play San Francisco. So this doesn't get easier for the Cowboys. Meanwhile, I want to go back, because Rex fixated on what Micah Parsons said, which none of us liked. I'm confused by what Dak said. I don't fully understand when he's saying, well, you guys were the ones who built, I mean, you won 70-10 your first two games. You guys built us up. Now you got what you wanted. We got him. I'm not sure what he's talking about.
I think the confusing part is we constantly hear how superstars or players who are focused on the season don't hear anything else, how they don't listen to what the media is saying. Does that mean you only tune it out when it's negativity? And when it's positive, it starts to feed you and you start to believe those things? And my question to him would have been, if I had an opportunity to be in that scrum, well, who do you know yourself to be? Because that's who was supposed to show up today. Right? Like, if you build us up, are you saying that we know who we are and we aren't who you guys thought we were?
Right?
Yeah. We aren't capable of the things the media was saying that we could accomplish, and then to say that, like, everybody got what they want. That's not what we want. No. Right. Actually, no. I don't give a damn. I really don't care. Like, my career is over, right? Like, I can't play no way. And so my thing is, focus on you. Where were the I's? Where were the we's? Where were the, like, this is where we have to get better. Tell me what you learned today. Tell me that, you know what? This is below the line. This is unacceptable. We don't care what none of y'all say, because truly, it's about the 53 people in the locker room.
Absolutely.
And if you focus on that, if the Dallas Cowboys can focus on that going forward, and you go watch this film and be truthful with yourself.
Be honest.
Be honest with yourself. Look in the mirror and say, it's me, not you. This team could rebound. If they can't do that, it could be more than just a day. Like Woody said, it could be a sign.
RC, to your point, if I'm the head coach, we're watching this whole game together.
That's right.
The offense, defense, every single thing. We're watching it together. And you know what? Nobody's going to be comfortable watching this bad boy, including every single coach. Mm. So that's what I would do. I would put it in front of all of us. It would happen maybe once every 2, 3, 4 years. But this is that day. They need to watch this tape as a football team.
That holds everybody accountable too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know when you know you got it? When that player said, that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it happens. And they got a chance to come out of it, but they need to watch it.
The thought that I'm having as you guys are talking, and it's a good one, I'm just looking at their next two games.
Mm-hmm.
New England, good defense, and they can run the ball.
Yep.
San Francisco, great defense, and they can run the heck out of the ball.
Yep.
So when you say this is a bad sign, right now it feels like, oh, they lost a game they should have won. We played down to our competition. Well, we'll be having a very different conversation if they lose one of, God help us, both of those two games, and all of a sudden Dallas is sitting here at 2-3. That could happen. That could happen. Yeah, you certainly could lose to San Francisco. That's a road game in 2 weeks. And let's see what happens against Belichick.
The point you make is the best point, because we're not judging this team. Now, obviously, they can't even beat Arizona, or they didn't beat Arizona, but that's not how we're judging this team.
Right.
We're judging this team compared to what we feel are their contemporaries, compared to who we feel are their peers. And those are supposed to be the best teams in the NFC, the San Franciscos, the Philadelphia Eagles. And when we watch those teams and you look at Philadelphia and you say they're trying to figure some things out, you still see what Arizona did well, and you say, well, they can't beat them.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go out there and play against them in this way, so there goes the NFC East. And then you look at the San Francisco 49ers that are bludgeoning people.
Right,
I mean, they have a wide receiver that's the toughest person on the field until their tight end gets the football and until their left tackle punches folks in the face.
Right?
That's what this team is. You think the Dallas Cowboys, in playing that way, not responding the way they didn't respond yesterday, is going to respond to that level of physicality? And that's the conversation you're having. And, you know, we get on here and we all say, hey, you don't focus on the big picture. It's week by week. That's a lie. That's a lie. Like, I'm going to sit in my locker and I might be talking to Troy and I'll be like, bro, real talk. If we can't stop James Conner, Christian McCaffrey going to get 200 on us.
Right.
If we can't tackle James Conner, what we going to do when DeAndre Swift is in the open field? Right. You're having those conversations. And if you don't fix things right now, you don't get to have those conversations in late January.
Yep.
They snowball.
They're home New England next week, and then they're at San Francisco the week after.
Dallas is going to rebound. I'm telling you, Dallas is going to play extremely well against New England.
We'll see. If they do, then maybe everything will feel good, and we will go into that San Francisco game with great anticipation. In the meantime, after another offensive dud, is it time for the Jets to pivot their plans at quarterback? Rex Ryan has a take that may surprise you. You will hear it. Plus, a historic humiliation. The Dolphins look like the team to beat in the AFC. Sean Payton's Broncos look as bad as you could ever possibly imagine. We have that game next. Don't miss it. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Broncos and Dolphins yesterday, holy smoke, in Miami. It was like 100 degrees on the field, and the Dolphins were even hotter than that. Tua, Tyreek, where is the coverage?
Hey, I tell you what, though, when it's hot on the field, you don't want your feet on there a long time. You see this turnover by Tyreek Hill. That's the one guy that I'd make sure wouldn't be open.
How do you lose him? He was as open as you could be, and then it's Devon Achane, the rookie. Oh,
no look! Hey, I love what Mike McDaniel is doing. Oh. Now he's just getting disrespectful in the red zone.
Tua, 16 of 16, 206 yards in the first half. But the Dolphins weren't done there. Raheem Mostert, always bouncing off tacklers.
You know, Raheem Mostert had to hear that every time a running back was free, the Miami Dolphins were in the trade sweepstakes. I bet they won't be there anymore.
No, they've got all kinds of offense. Meanwhile, this was not Russell Wilson's fault. Anything on this day. Here's a fumble, and we got Andrew Van Ginkle.
Van Ginkle! Hey, Andrew Van Ginkle has been balling the last 2 weeks, but it's the play by Javon Holland poking the ball off that started this.
35-13 at the half. More Dolphins. Rex, on this Mostert touchdown, where is the tackling?
I have no idea, Greeny, but this was every single play.
That
was
every play.
Looked like the team gave up, man.
Hit him with the hopscotch, and then we gonna serve. Mostert.
They're hotter than fish streaks, I can tell you that. Fish streaks.
Mostert, four touchdowns. Devon Achane, four touchdowns.
Walks in.
It's good to see that Denver corrected that.
Say what?
Let's hear from Sean Payton after the game, because understandably, he was cranky.
I know that you said it's embarrassing, but this is kind of an historic game. I mean, third time the team has scored 70 points over 700.
What's the question? What's the question?
How do you feel about it
being, I just finished telling you.
Historically embarrassing.
Next question.
I mean, what's he going to say? Like, maybe they should have ponied up. Maybe that's the only thing I'm going to say, because this is absolutely atrocious. This defense is supposed to be a top five defense in the National Football League. And this is, they're closer to 33rd defense in the league than they are 31st. Like, this defense stinks. They've given up 16 touchdowns and forced 5 punts.
On the season.
5 punts on the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, like, what? There's that's got to be historically bad. And look, I'm laughing because the dude drugged me all over the place and all that type of stuff. That said he was going to hire me and all that crap. So I'm laughing, all right? But at the same time, like, I have respect for Sean Payton. He should fix this thing. But he went into the season assuming he had a great defense, and it's been absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, you know whose Denver Broncos teams never gave up 70 points in a game? Nathaniel Hackett, the man who did one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. I know that because Sean Payton told us it.
Right.
I like Sean, too. But this was embarrassing, the way he has handled this entire situation from when he got there. He's tried to make everything about Russell. Right now, frankly, Russell Wilson is the least of their problems.
Yeah, it's not Russell Wilson at all. Russell Wilson, if you look at yesterday, he actually played on time early in the game. He made big throws to Jerry Jeudy, and he was able to move the football when it was put on him. The other piece of it is this. You said that Sean Payton made everything about Russell Wilson. Payton made everything about him.
Okay.
Damn right.
Fair enough.
Sean Payton wants to be the star in Denver. Sean Payton wants to stand in front of everybody and hear how great he is, hear how he can come and fix Russell Wilson. And if Russell Wilson isn't fixed, it won't be Sean Payton's problem. Sean Payton's problem, Sean Payton's job, his responsibility is the entire team. And though the defense isn't playing well, and I know that Sean Payton isn't a defensive mind, it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to play complementary football. It's your responsibility to understand who's on the other side of the field. And as a team, how do we figure this out to give ourselves the best chance to win? And let's be real about it. What he did after the game is immature, right? It's immature. You don't want to hear what someone has to say because you absolutely freaking stunk. Right. Because you're embarrassed. But you know what the best of us have to do? No matter how upset we are, we got to face it.
Right.
And we got to face it, and we got to own it, and we got to be accountable. You know why? Because what Rex Ryan is going to do when he steps off of that podium is come tell me on Monday morning to be accountable. He's going to tell me to look at the film and be honest. He's going to tell me, face the smoke. Don't run from the smoke. Run to the smoke, because we're firefighters. Because we made a decision that on Sundays, we're going to go out here and we're going to put our lives on the line. We're going to put our careers on the line to win football games. And when we fall below that line, we're supposed to answer for it. So all season, you could talk about what everybody else couldn't do. What Nathaniel Hackett didn't do well, what Russell Wilson should do by not kissing babies. But the time you give up 70, and I don't care if you coach defense, the time you gave up 70, you don't have the patience or the respect to listen to somebody finish a question, a statement, a thought, whatever it is. Because when you give up 70, you ain't got the right. You ain't got the right. If I give up 70, I'm gonna be a mouse. You ain't gonna hear nothing. I'm not gonna cut you off because I don't want to talk anyway. I want you to finish, sir. You finish the statement for me, because what I gotta say is, all I can say is, we got our tails whipped. We gotta be better next week. But you can't even do that.
Listen. It's an extremely good point. Let's also make this point. They gave up 70 points to what looks like it might be one of the great offenses ever. They gave up 35 points last week to the Washington Commanders, who yesterday scored three against Buffalo. So this defense isn't just bad. It's historically bad. Now, let's also make sure we do not let this conversation end without giving some love. The Miami offense is ridiculous. And you made the point about how fast they are. I want to show you something that Ryan.
You said I did it, Green. It's cool.
No. But it wasn't. It was Field Yates. Field Yates posted this, that the sixth fastest times registered by a person carrying the ball in any game this season are all by members of the Miami Dolphins. It was Tyreek Hill three times, it was A-Chain twice, and it was Raheem Mostert. So they have, and that's not counting Jaylen Waddle, who didn't play yesterday and is as fast as anybody. So when we talk about speed, it is ridiculous.
Speed is something you cannot teach. You can't teach speed. And Ryan, we were talking about this actually on commercial break, how the Miami Dolphins, like, they accumulated all these players with speed. It's one thing to accumulate athletes with speed. No, they accumulated football players.
Absolutely.
Who are fast as hell, guys who know how to play the game, who not only are time clock fast, but on the field they are fast. And that's what threatens players the most. When you know somebody can run by you in the blink of an eye, guess what? It puts you on your heels. And the Miami Dolphins offense literally has defenses on their heels every single week, because there's nothing more embarrassed than people running flat by you.
I got 10 seconds. If Tua stays healthy, are they MVP. The best team in the AFC?
They're the best team in the AFC, and he's the MVP. He stays healthy.
Agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Got to protect him, and that's what I've been most impressed with Mike McDaniel.
All right. And they were brilliant yesterday, and for Denver, that was an embarrassment. Speaking of which, Zach Wilson and the Jets yesterday, their dream season has turned into a very familiar nightmare. There's only one solution, and you'll hear what it is next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back.
Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweets.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh.
Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweets. I can't even do it with a straight face. It is everybody's favorite part of the show. He is everybody's favorite Twitter follow, and now it is time for him to explain some of his tweets from yesterday. Let's begin with the biggest story in the NFL, and that is that the world's biggest pop star was at a game. RC tweeted, I love that they keep showing us Kelsey's tweet so we can see the real rock star in the stadium. Donna Kelsey is an absolute rock star. Explain that
tweet. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, we all excited. Taylor Swift is there. Everybody saw Taylor Swift the entire offseason. She just made $1 billion, Greeny, selling out arenas everywhere. But who's important? It's Donna Kelsey, who has all the commercials about soup. Donna Kelsey, who had two sons in the Super Bowl. Donna Kelsey. Hey, you want to talk about a star? How about her birth giving? That's who the star is. And so everybody, oh, Taylor Swift is there. And who is this dude? He looks like a skinny Kamaru Usman. Nobody cares about him. Nobody. All we care about is Donna. Thinking Donna. And I'm so happy we finally got to see more of her because she deserves it. Today, she raised two Hall of Famers, Greeny.
I know.
Tell me how many Hall of Famers Taylor Swift raised. None.
Well, not
zero.
Yet. Well, give her some time.
Zero.
We'll see what winds up happening. All right, let's go to the next one. There's a Green Bay. Jordan Love done took Lambo from bruh, we miss Aaron, to boy, I love Jordan in one quarter. What a time to be alive.
I mean, can we talk about this? This team is down 17-0. Derek Carr gets hurt. Jordan Love says, you know what? I'm going YOLO. He starts throwing the football deep every opportunity he has, using his legs to create. Not only do they score because he has a zone read. Who's he reading on the zone read? Cam Jordan. Possible Hall of Famer. Who does he shake to get in the end zone? DeMario Davis. Possible Hall of Famer. Jordan Love is a flat-out baller. And I know it doesn't always work. Let's draft the guy. Let's sit him behind a Hall of Famer. He'll be great. But Green Bay somehow has something in the water or something in the cheese that makes it work.
All right, I'm confused because I'm looking at the next one and it's mine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you know this. They let me host shows too now.
Okay.
And so here we go. Here we go. The Jets' offensive line is horrific. The defense isn't as good as they think they are. And the quarterback doesn't belong in the NFL. Aside from those, we're doing great over here. Greeny, explain your tweet.
Some things I think don't really need to be explained. Let's start with the offensive line. When the Jets had that ball backed up on their own goal line, I literally, you can ask my wife, you can ask my daughter, you can ask my dog. I was yelling, punt on third down, punt on third down. You are guaranteed a safety. The fact that he didn't fumble for a touchdown is a miracle. This is my imitation. Which camera? Of Mekhi Becton. He's the biggest man in the entire world. Hike, this is Becton. He's just getting shoved
he
backwards.
DB greedy. The he plays DB.
Shoved backwards on every single play. The defense. Twice this season now, they have given up. Look, they're good. They're very good. But they think they're the 85 Bears. Well, you know what? You have to catch those interceptions when you have a chance to get a pick six in Dallas. You have to not just let the 59-yard touchdown from a guy named Farrell ruin the game.
Farrell's are important.
They got to be that good. And then the quarterback, where do I begin? I mean, he is to I don't even know what to say. He doesn't belong on an NFL field. He doesn't belong on a team. It's ridiculous. Everyone can see it, and it is going to ruin the entire franchise because this season is over. But I'm telling you, you're going to lose Garrett, and you're going to lose Sauce, and you're going to lose everybody good on that team because they're all going to give up.
Where was Zach Wilson after the game? I'm just going to continue doing Greeny's job because he's better at my job than me.
Yeah,
Wait a minute. Greeny. That pass that you did.
Yeah. The back pedal?
The back pedal.
Offensive tackle DB?
He's so big. Hard, isn't it? How does he get moved that easily? I mean, I'm just watching. It's literally, here comes Matthew Judon. Hike. He's just falling backwards into the quarterback. I'm sweating now. All right.
It's hard, Greeny.
Yeah.
It's hard
I mean,
to be me.
I don't know how you do
it's
that
hard
every
to be
week.
Me, Greeny.
Holy smoke.
Look at his suit, and I did it.
The AC on
him? That's crazy.
See what? Yeah. We need the air conditioning on, Brandon. Please. Okay. Show me what I had wrong. Tell me what part of that was wrong. I may be a deranged lunatic. Now, of course, I am one. But you tell me what part of that I had wrong.
Not much, Greeny, to be honest with you. I mean, you were right about the quarterback. The biggest thing, this whole thing was built around Aaron Rodgers.
That's it.
That's the whole thing.
Right.
When you literally push everything in for the quarterback, and then in four plays, everything goes up in the smoke, guess what? You're scrambling. You got a quarterback in. RC said earlier, who doesn't want to be in there? He was literally content with being the backup quarterback because nobody gave him the smoke. Nobody cared. Nobody gave a damn about him. You literally had Aaron Rodgers in there. Guess what? You don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. So Nathaniel Hackett, figure it the hell out. You got to put your hat on something. Hey, run like if you got to run every damn play, run it every damn play. But we still got how many more games left? Like a gazillion games
14.
Left.
14.
You need to figure this thing out.
14 to be exact, yeah. I mean, Rex, what? I mean,
well, I'm going to say this. First off, it's like, you're right. Help's not coming down the road. They can't afford a backup quarterback.
Ooh,
like, that was part of the problem. You hit it right on the head. They put everything in. And you know why? I think it was great that they did. They went for the darn thing.
Yeah.
When your quarterback got hurt, okay, it looks absolutely bleak. Greeny, I disagree. I think this defense can carry this football team.
They're good, man.
To the point.
Yeah, they're very good.
To where, look, Sauce, you were right. Sauce, you can't make a mistake. This defense has got to play mistake-free.
They have to be perfect.
That's
it's unfair.
So
I know it is, but I've sat there.
But if you're
going to
win any
once.
Games, go ahead.
Okay, and I'm sitting back. This quarterback, look, what can he do? Can he throw the hell out of the football? Yes, he can. Nobody can tell me the kid doesn't have NFL arm talent. He does. Does he have mobility? Yes.
Yep.
Does he look like he has a 2-cent head at times? Yes. So what are we going to do? We're going to fix it. We can't pass block. Your point, we can't pass block. So how are we going to fix that? We're going to run the football, and we're going to move the pocket some for him. The kid has mobility. All right? How do you make the reads easier on the quarterback? By giving him a specific target, where to look, and all that. He can't judge the whole field. He can't look at the whole field. We know that doesn't work. It works for Aaron Rodgers, and that's what they're doing right now. To Hackett's his problem, yeah, everything was built for Aaron Rodgers. This kid can't do that. So now we got to look at who we are and how we can fix it. Look, next week it's not going to be solved, but it better be solved when we play Denver. That needs to happen.
Hey, Van Greeny gave me a headache.
I know. That's the safety. That was the safety. There's Becton. Well, that play he actually kind of held up. It was the other side.
Hey, guys, here's what's funny, man. Greeny is one of the best TV hosts to ever live,
yeah.
And the Jets got my dog stuttering. Like, I, hey, he can't even. Hey, Greeny can't. This man, like, like the Hall of Fame or something like that. And Greedy can't find words.
They've done it. Jim Nantz has been calling NFL games for 30 years. He's been the most respected and most even-keeled person in the world. He was begging for them to take Zach Wilson out of that game yesterday. In the third quarter. And Tony Romo is begging him to throw the ball. He's showing you all these plays. He's open right here. Throw it! I mean, Romo was literally yelling, throw it. Like, here's the safety. Look at Becton. Oh, that's great. That's a great block.
Here's the thing. This is truthful. All jokes aside, football is dang hard.
It is
a very difficult game to play. And it's a game of confidence as well. It's a game of believing that you can go out and get a certain job done. If you're Zach Wilson, you have not had enough success personally, individually, to believe that you can get the job done. And so if I'm Nathaniel Hackett, I agree with Rex in this. I got to tell him, I got to go have an honest conversation with him. You don't do this well. You're not ready to do this. But here is what you do well. And I'm going to put you in those positions to allow you to succeed. If we put you in the roll game and the guy's not wide open, use your legs. If you can't use your legs, throw it out of bounds because we do have a really good defense. What we can't do to that defense is put the pressure on them to be perfect. Put the pressure on them to not only make stops, but make turnovers, score points. Say, you know what? I will not lose the game on offense. Now let's find another way to win it. And I do believe if you do that, I at least walk into the stadium as a player in that locker room like, we know the plan. And if I know the plan, I can work to execute it.
All right, so let's let RC, who is the host of Inside the NFL, and let's let you do the bump and the sneaky humbug. Go ahead. Take us to break.
Hey, guys, coming up, what happened and what the heck happened, as Greeny would say, to the Cowboys yesterday? Was their loss to the Cardinals just a bad game, or is there something more that lies beneath the surface?
But first, sneaky
humbug. Hey, but first, we have a little sneaky humbug. Okay, Rex, here we go, Rex. It's time to put the championship belt on. Which Super Bowl champion scored the most points in the regular season?
That's the question.
Sneaky Himbo has been getting beat up the entire year.
We'll be right back. I'm sweating.
They didn't write that.
All right, here we go. There's a lot of confidence in Rex in this room. This will not go well if you don't get this one right. Everyone thinks you're going to get it. Which Super Bowl champion? The Dolphins look like they're going to set all kinds of scoring records. Which Super Bowl champion scored the most points in the regular season, meaning the highest scoring Super Bowl champion ever?
Well, I mean, this should be obvious, right? And this is not my final answer. The obvious one should be, well, New England's won a million of these Super Bowls. Their offense always kicks butt.
Right.
They scored 45 on me one day, but, by the way, they got beat that time. But I'm going back, and then Kansas City's been awful good. Come on, dude. Greatest show on turf right here, the St. Louis Rams.
That's
who it is.
That is
1999, if you want a year. Please.
Hey, man.
Come on.
Himbo, that was a reason.
Himbo.
You know what? Hey, Himbo. I got a little for you. You know what it is? It's
I own you, my friend. I own you right here.
Hey, guys, I don't know. I'm going to tell you this. Himbo must be at home being a great dad because he's gotten terrible at this.
He said, you know what? He's going to screw it up because this one's so obvious. He knows I'm going to mess with him. And then I went back. I got in his head. And then I go, no, I have the answer.
He thought maybe you would talk yourself out of it.
Absolutely. So I know him. I'm in his head so bad.
That was a superlative performance from Rex. In the meantime, it's time for Sunday Superlatives. Rex, who impressed you the most this week?
Man, my guy. It's going to be Josh Allen. Here he comes right here. Did somebody load the bazooka? Boom! There it is. Yes, it did. And you know what? I'm the baddest runner on the planet. I'll go ahead and give you one of these little finger rolls, looking like MJ over there, and I'm going to pump it out of my own end zone. Not like Zach Wilson. Like, come on, Stephon Diggs, a great player. I love this cat right here, the baddest dude on the planet.
I'm old enough to remember when he was in trouble. Remember that? Three interceptions the first week?
Oh, yeah, when all you guys were giving up on him.
RC, what was your favorite moment of the
week? I mean, it comes from the same game for me, and any anytime a big man gets a pick six, it's a huge deal. Right here, you see Sam Howell scramble out the pocket. AJ Espinosa gets the pick. Now, this dude played AAU basketball with Jason Tatum. So, Sam Howell, we're going to try to lay it up over his head. He gets the big pick. It's the catch. It's a tip. It's a catch. And then he has the run. Get off of me, Sam Howell. Gets it to the end zone. Hit him with the stutter step. And then goes. This defense was absolutely phenomenal. Yesterday, we talked about what they would look like without Leslie Frazier calling plays, and they were great.
D-Wood, what was the biggest surprise to you?
That Cowboys defense getting tossed out the club yesterday. Mm. I mean, you talk.
No white shoes, D-Wood.
All throw them all out.
No white tees.
The Arizona Cardinals didn't give a damn about the Cowboys defense and Michael Parsons. They literally were delivering body blow after body blow against that defense, didn't allow them to get to try to rush the passer. Best way to neutralize them, run the ball. And that's what Josh Dobbs and them, and James Conner boys did. Ran the ball right at them.
So, Damian Woody was surprised by the Cowboys yesterday. Stephen A. Smith, not surprised.
They're just the gift that keeps on giving, you know? They're just a gift. They're just a gift that keeps on giving. I keep trying to tell y'all. You don't want to listen. Cowboys best team in the NFL. Cowboys best team in the NFL. I'm telling you, Stephen, Cowboys the best team in the NFL. They didn't even lose to an eagle. They lost to a cardinal.
He is going to be insufferable, and he is 11 minutes away with the First Take that is coming up here. But I will ask a question again, because I asked it to D-Wood. I'll ask it to you. What we saw from the Cowboys yesterday, was that just a bad day, or was that a bad sign?
No, I believe it's a bad day. And listen, there has been one team, the 1972 Miami Dolphins, that's gone undefeated. Now, what they have to do is take this, truly be honest with themselves, look in the mirror and say, how are we going to fix this? Dan Quinn, what are you going to do about your defense? We know we play all of these DBs, all of the sub packages, and I know Rex sees it as well, where there's 5 to 6 to 7 defensive backs on the field. You're going to have to change that. Damone Clark, the Will linebacker, he's going to have to play more. You're going to have to get more physical. And offensively, Mike McCarthy, what happens when your defense isn't dominant? What happens when your defense isn't turning the ball over? Is the Trayvon Diggs loss an even bigger loss than we thought? Does it affect the other 10 men on the field and everything they do with their job? Dan Quinn, how do you switch up the play calls to make yourself more sound on the back end without a superstar at the right corner? All these things need to be adjusted, and they have an opportunity to do that. But you don't have an opportunity to wait until the end of the season. It has to be done now because the New England Patriots will attack that with Ramondre Stevenson. Mm-hmm. And you know, the next week when you see Christian McCaffrey and the San Francisco 49ers, they're coming downhill McGill, and it's going to be a big test for this team.
Well, I said before that, you know, he's got to get out of that man coverage, which he's been playing. Dan Quinn has been playing, you know, the first 2 weeks, and he played it this last week. Why? Josh Jobs was 14 of 17, averaged 9 yards an attempt right there against man coverage. Mm. So to me,
so that's the absence of Trayvon Diggs.
We knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. So you got to go back. Dan Quinn is an excellent defensive coach. He does have to fix it that way, and you're right. You can't get bullied.
Again, Diggs got hurt in practice, middle of the week, so maybe you give them time to sort of try and adjust that. I guess the final point that I would make on this is, we always say this, the path to the Super Bowl goes through someone. In Dallas's case, it might be literally that, because you can't go around them. They're too fast. If you're going to beat them, you've got to go through them.
You got to go through them, and there's teams in the NFC that can absolutely go through you. The Philadelphia Eagles, San Francisco 49ers. We talked about the physicality. Mm-hmm. One thing we know, it's a copycat league, right? You put it out there on film, team's going to try you, and it's going to start this week with the New England Patriots.
Yeah, and then San Francisco is really, that's the game that you have circled. It's a week from Sunday night. This coming Sunday night is Jets-Chiefs. The week after that,
so there's no game on Sunday
night. I don't even know what to say, yeah. But the following week, you're going to get Cowboys-Niners, and that's going to be a fascinating test. Yeah. I mean, the Cowboys, they're going to show you what they can do. It's a week-to-week league. A week ago, the Cowboys were the best team in football. Suddenly, the 49ers and the Dolphins look like the best.
Yeah, when you look at the Miami Dolphins and what Mike McDaniel is doing there with that offense, the sense of creativity, finding ways to get players open, and Tua Tagovailoa just processing so quickly and getting the football out of his hands, and they're two totally different teams. One team is all about how fast can we get the football out of our quarterback's hands into our playmakers to create big plays. The other team thinks of it the same way, but it's about the physicality and being able to bludgeon you. It looks like they're on a collision course to see one another, but there's still so much season to be played.
Yeah. Okay, that said, there's still more Week 3 season to be played. We got not one but two games tonight for you coming up. Our Week 3 matchups, it starts with the Eagles and the Bucks at the special start time of 7 Eastern on ABC, and then we will have Rams, Bengals, 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN Deportes. Joe Burrow is a game-time decision, and obviously that's an enormously significant factor in that game. We'll do the picks. Everybody here has the Eagles. You see the Eagles having any trouble tonight with an unbeaten Tampa team?
I actually think this is going to be a close game, and here's why. All those receivers at Tampa that we saw all last year, yeah, hurt and all that type of stuff, they're a bunch of older guys. They're still healthy.
Playing so well, too.
They are. They're playing well. Baker Mayfield's doing a decent job. So I think it's going to be a lot better game than people think.
So we have that one. And then let's get into Rams-Bengals, because that's the one where there's some question. You like the Rams tonight. Is that based upon the Joe Burrow factor?
Yeah, just not knowing what's going on with Joe Burrow, but also watching that team play. I think Lou Alarumo, from a defensive standpoint, is still the same coach he's been, yeah, and they're still attacking, but offensively they're not. Their routes are lazy. There's no creativity in what they're doing offensively. It's the same thing we've seen from them. And if you watch Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, the way they're operating right now from condensed formation, using Kyren Williams in the run, and what we're seeing defensively as well from Raheem Morris and that defense, I think that this Rams team is much more competitive than people give them credit for.
I do agree with you. I do think if Joe Burrow plays, I think he gives them the edge. But offensively for the Bengals, it's very stale.
Because
they have so many playmakers. And sometimes there's a play caller, you just think, I can just call whatever my guy's going to go out there and make plays, and that's absolutely not
Where's Ja'Marr Chase been? You think he's been the guy that's been injured. He never gets the ball.
And then if they do decide to play Burrow tonight, in part because 0-3 gets you to a very dangerous place when everyone else in your division is sitting at 2-1, he's got to deal with Aaron Donald, right, with the calf and everything. Scary place.
Hey, you heard what Geno say. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Burrow's a tough guy, but at some point this becomes really scary. I'm picking the Bengals because I just can't imagine they're going to fall out of it this fast. But that's not a good reason to be making a pick. All right, we promised to Stephen A., and he's coming up. First Take follows us in just a few minutes. Again, in a word, he's going to be insufferable when it comes to the Cowboys. And then I'm dying to hear what he has to say about Zach Wilson and the Jets. It's Stephen A., it's Molly, it's Shannon, it's RC, it's Rex, and more. It's First Take, top of the hour, here on ESPN. Another great college football weekend coming your way Saturday on ABC and the ESPN app. Number 3, Texas hosting Kansas. And then the game day crews in Durham for number 11, Notre Dame, taking on number 17, Duke. Terrific day all the way around. One thing to show you before we get rolling here, Vikings game. This is the Braves mascot Blooper. And RC, show me what we got here.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes the kids got to get it too.
Oh.
We ain't got time for that. Hey, your mama put you out here. Your mama gonna have to come get you.
Yeah.
Now they want to jump him. Now it's like throw it up. Nah, we are making plays. We spiking on kids. If the game, I'm gonna be honest though, y'all. If that's my child, I'm a fight that mascot.
Hey,
that mascot. Hey.
That mascot is done. Hey. Conor McGregor would have gone on him.
Yeah, me and the mascot, we got beef, bro.
That child got all the smoke on that one.
Hey, he did.
Yeah.
The mascot rolled for that.
All right, it made me laugh, and I needed a laugh.
He needed a laugh.
All right, our fun here is done. Stephen A. is going to be impossible to live with, and that begins right now.